I apologize to the Shanabet boys. I'm repeating one of my favorite stories. There was a police department that had decided that they wanted to, instead of imposing fines on those who didn't drive properly, they wanted a different system. The system would be that they would reward those who drive properly. A cop would follow them, and if a fellow was driving properly for 15 minutes, they would give him a cash rebate. $200 instead of a $200 fine, $200 cash. So a cop in that county is following somebody, and he's driving well, and he pulls him over, and he says, in our county, we reward people who drive well, and I'm giving you a $200 rebate. So the cop says, I'm curious, what are you going to do with these $200? So the guy looks at him simply, and he says, I think I'm going to buy myself a fake license. The cop says, what? And his wife says, no, don't believe him. He's drunk. So the cop says, everybody pull over. Fellow in the back seat says, he's not drunk. We stole the car. How could we be drunk? They pull over. The cop says, everybody out. And the trunk pops open. And a little kid jumps out and he says, have we crossed the border yet? I tell this joke because every single one of us going into Yom Noraim is getting into a car. But what's really going on inside of that car? Every single one of us, there are certain things that we're working on to grow. If we're honest with ourselves, wherever we're holding, quote-unquote, religiously, if we're honest with ourselves, there are things we want to work on. But what exactly is this process of tshuva that we're going through? And I'd like to ask you three questions that I heard from my Rabbeim and try to develop maybe a new perspective of what's really going on in that car. All of you are familiar, hopefully you said it twice in the morning, with the pasuk, V'hu rachum yichaper avoin v'lo yashchis v'irbo lo shivapo v'lo yir kol chamosoi. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has mercy on us and He'll atone. He'll forgive us for our sins. Rav Yaakov Katz Shlita pointed out the source of those words that we say before Ashrei and we say at the end of davening in Uva L'Tzion, those words appear in Tehillim Ayin Ches. And what precedes it is actually something quite strange. The pasuk says, in Ayin Ches, Lamid Vav, Vayifateyu Befiyam Uvilshoinam Yichazvulai. They spoke one third thing with their mouth. They almost tried to seduce, the Lashon Lefato, to seduce God with their words. They were saying one thing, V'libam lo nachanimo. And then the next pasuk says, "V'hu rachum yichaper avon." Hakadosh Baruch Hu atones for their sins. What's going on? Either there's a sincere tshuva and God is going to atone, or the tshuva is not sincere and it shouldn't say "V'hu rachum yichaper avon." We say it twice a day. What's going on? Rav Yaakov Katz Shlita asked another question. This from a little bit more of an esoteric source. In the Me'iri and the Chibra Atshuva, the Me'iri has a striking line which requires analysis. Page 51 in the Beis HaBechira, up until this year, this was the only edition of the Chibra Atshuva. The Talmidim just showed me, Masada Rav Kook just put out a new edition of the Chibra Atshuva. The Me'iri describes a fellow who does tshuva, and he's in sincere tshuva. But he does a tshuva at a time of tsar, when he is in a difficult predicament. And he writes, often, v'zeh hashav, the one who returns, af al pisha machshavto izachu nekiya beiz tshuvasai ligmar bidaita, he's sincere, lebal yosef yaver bochet v'avon, yachbot es libo beiz hayos harvacha, v'yoshu v'yishane bavloso. He's going to go back. How many of us have gone through a tshuva last year? And we're back in the same place. And if you read the Me'iri very carefully, the fellow was sincere in his charata. And then the Me'iri has this striking term. V'zeh signoin ra'ma'oid. This individual, his style is off. Now, when I was your age, style was important to me. And you know, we think when we're cool, we think we know people who have style, people who don't have style. Samiri also thought that style was important. Ze signon ramod. His style is off. Rav Katz asked, what does that mean? What exactly does the Meiri mean? His style is off. Two questions. The pasuk of Ahu Rachum is in a strange place. V'libam lo nachay nimai. Question number two, what does the Meiri mean that the person who has a sincere tshuva, signoin ramoid, his style is off. Question number three. Rav Nevin Zal Shlita often likes to quote a famous kasha from Rav Yisrael Salanter. And that is, these upcoming days don't seem to make sense. Rav Yisrael Salanter asked, if he would have been setting up Aseres Yimei Tshuva, he would have put Rosh Hashanah last. And the reason for that is, we would have gone through 9 days of Tshuva, have Yom HaKippurim, and then we're capable of coronating HaKadosh Baruch Hu as King. We're capable. But now we've thrown in, without much process of tshuva, asks Rabbi Yisrael, why do we have it in that order? Rosh Hashanah first and tshuva second. Rabosai, the answer to the above questions that my Rabbeim taught me is based on a beautiful Chassidish Maisa, an ancient Maisa that we say over often, but every time you say it over, it has to be ma'orer, something in your heart. The Baal Shem Tov Zechusa Yogen Aleinu was davening on Yom HaKippurim. And it's well known that Baal Shem Tov emphasized, even in the direst of times, that tefillah be besimcha. The Chassidim noticed that that year the Baal Shem Tov sensed that there was a terrible gzar din in Shemayim. And he was forlorn. Everything was bebechia, crying. And then towards Nila, the Besht was silent. For 10 minutes, quiet. And then he started up with a gevaldige simcha, with a tremendous joy. Of course, his Talmidim asked him afterwards, after Yom HaKippurim, he said, Rebbe, what changed? What happened in those 10 minutes? And the Baal Shem Tov said, you didn't notice that there was a poor peasant boy who walked in the back. That boy, his father, passed away when he was 6 years old, when he had begun to start learning in Cheder. And the only thing that he had learned was Komatz Aleph O, Komatz Beis Bo, Komatz Gimel Go. Just dawned on me this year. Komatz Aleph O, Komatz Beis Bo, Abba. And he said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Abba, my father, I don't know how to daven. I don't come close to these holy people in the shul. But this is the only thing I have. The only thing I have is this Komatz Aleph, all Komatz Beis Bo. And the Baal Shem Tov said, Unsere Hecherik Kavanis is given garnished, Muldem Kind, our holy Kavanis, when nothing compared to that simple child. Inside of every single one of us is that simple child. That koach, that chelek elokam imal, that's going to be blown into our nose on Rosh Hashanah. That's why we blow the shofar. I just heard a modern version of the story. Just 2 nights ago, thanks to Rav Olshin, I heard from a recording of Y.Y. Jacobson, Rabbi Jacobson. There's a legendary chazan of all places in the world. The place where the Nazis' boots stamped and obliterated one-third of our people. Frankfurt, Germany. If you go to Frankfurt, Germany, according to Rabbi Jacobson, there's a shul, a beautiful shul, that was rebuilt right after the Holocaust in 1946. I went once back to Europe. I can't go. I was there. I went back once. How was I there? I was there with my grandparents. I never visited Germany. I don't want to visit Germany. But they say there's a beautiful, beautiful shul. 2,000 seats. They say Kol Nidre there, the Chazan's name, I only remember his first name is Rabbi Tzadok. They say the Kol Nidre there is amazing. And there was a fellow from Eretz Yisrael who davened in beautiful places here in Arzenu Akdosha, and he went over to this Chazan, the shul is full, on Kol Nidre. And they asked him, where does this Kol Nidre come from? We never heard such a Kol Nidre. And he said, I'll tell you this story. This Kol Nidre is new. I never davened this Kol Nidre here in Frankfurt until the following story about 5, 6, 7 years ago. After davening, the whole Yom HaKippurim davening, there aren't many people who are capable in Frankfurt, Germany to daven, lead the Amud. He davens most of the tefillos. He says, I was walking out, the shul was already closed. This beautiful shul has these large gates, everything was dark, and he was walking out from the shul from the side entrance, and the gates are all closed, and there's a man with a silk yarmulke that looks like he was just put on. You know, we've seen them, we're familiar with them. He's coming to shul, and he says to the fellow, the chazan in a perfect Yiddish, why is the door closed? Isn't tonight Kol Nidre? He came one night, too late. It was Matzah Yom HaKippurim, everybody had left. And he says, tell me, is it Kol Nidre? Why is no one here? And Reb Tzadok says to him, you made a mistake on the calendar. Tonight was Ne'ilah. And the man begins to burst out and cry. And he says, I'll tell you my story. My parents were survivors here from Germany and escaped to East Russia, Eastern Europe, to Russia, under communist control. And what happened was, everything was gone. But there was one thing my father told me, and my father told me, Bezal Lashon, the way in which you stay a Jew is you go Kol Nidre to Shul. And he says to him in a beautiful Yiddish, I am finally cut off from the Jewish people, that's gone. I missed Kol Nidre. I missed the ability to say, Komatz Aleph or Komatz Beis Bo. Tzadok is shuddering, hearing this. He says, I tell him, come back into the shul. We're going to do Kol Nidre. Kol Nidre on the Ela night. And I come into the shul and everything's dark. And I begin to sing Kol Nidre. And at that moment, in that dark shul, 2,000 empty seats, as I begin to sing Kol Nidre, both he and I begin to cry because I feel all of the generations of my grandparents, my great-grandparents, and his. 2 years later, I saw the man, and the man told me, I'm still connected to the Jewish people because of you. Today, there are still people who feel the hargasha belev in their avodas Hashem. And some of them are very, very simple Jews. Some of them are not even religious. And inside of every single one of us is that komatz aleph or komatz beis bo. Zok de Vilna Gaon is not a sight only from the Baal Shem Tov Zichus HaYogan Aleinu. This is not the ancient version and the modern version of our generation. Says the Gra, that's the Bakasha, the request at the end of Shemona Esrei. Shema Koleinu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, hear my cry. The Bracha doesn't say Shema Tfilasenu. Why? Why does it say call? Why the cry? The answer is, says the Gra, because at the end of all the Bakashos, a person recognizes at the end of the day that there's something deeper inside of themselves that they can't articulate. There's the cry of the Jewish soul. Shema Koleinu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, hear my cry. And that's why the bracha on Rosh Hashanah is L'shmo HaKol Shofar. Sort of Soloveitchik described as the primal, inarticulate cry of the human being. In Kenim Advarim, if this is the essence of Avoda, if this is correct, if this is what we need to access inside of ourselves, then we understand the psukim. There's so many people who are getting into this car of Yom Noraim. And what's the car? What did you think you were getting into? You thought that what you want to do is to change certain things. You thought about your words. You thought about your maisim. The essence of tshuva, Rav Nevin Sal Shlita says, the answer to Rabbi Yisrael Salanter's kasha is that at the end of the day, Rosh Hashanah is a time where a person makes the first step, where he realizes that he's a ben melech, that he's a son of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu imbued with it inside of him, Mechelek Elokam Mimal, where the Baal Shem Tov taught us that the essence is Kamatz Aleph or Kamatz Beis Ba. Oh, if that's so, so then tshuva looks very, very different. Says the Mesilas Yesharim, the essence of what we're here for is Kirvas Elokim Litov, that coming close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is something so dear, L'Hisanig Al Hashem, to live a life that's beautiful with a special connection to that Chelek Elokam Mimal that's inside of us. The Chelek Elokam Mimal that's inside of us. Two people got married. One person wasn't interested in getting married at that time. It was an arranged marriage. He didn't choose the girl. And somebody else wanted to get married, and he chose the girl. Both of them are great guys. Both of them want to be great husbands. The person who wants to be a great husband because he's supposed to be, do you know how hard it is? You guys don't. These guys do. Do you know how hard it is to be a great husband? And if you don't have that desire inside of you, you don't have that passion, you don't have that commitment that this is the time. This is a time where I'm connecting to someone that at the end of the day, as much as you try simply to form your actions aren't going to be able to conquer that which is the passion, desire inside of you. If a person doesn't feel that at the end of the day, the reason why I want to change is because there's something that's so deeper in my relationship, in my relationships. With this, we've explained to the Talmidim in the past, the challenge that these guys have is Shalom Bayis. Your challenge that you have, one of the biggest challenges, is your eyes. Kedusha Sainayim. When you get married, you also have that challenge. But Kal V'chomer for Bachurim. Zok Dehele Gerashi, V'loisa Sur Achrei Levavchem Achrei Einechem, Ha'ayin Roe, Ha'leiv Chom Meid V'agufo Yisaveros. The eye sees and desires, and the body does averos. But the pasuk says in the opposite order, v'loisa suru achrei levavchem, it says first the heart. And then it says, achrei nechem, the eyes. Rashi said it in the inverse, ha'ayin roe, ha'lev chomed v'gufo se'averos. Which one is it? The answer is that Rashi is describing the pu'ula, the actions. But the pasuk is describing what you really want. If someone wants to have Shmiras Einayim because they know it's the wrong thing, then that's not going to last. But if someone in their Ramach Evarim, in their Shasagid, in their whole essence, what they want is Kedusha, they want to be a Merkava to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they want to be one that's Ra'ui to capture everything that's spiritual and beautiful in this world, those are the individuals that will be Zocha to a little bit more Kedusha this coming year. Zok de Meiri, as Rav Katz explained, Signon Rama, oh, their style is off. They're sincere. They want to change their meisim. They don't want to do these awful things. They don't want to say Lashon Hara. But at the end of the day, if a person doesn't have that aspiration for Kedushas HaPeh, that their mouth that says Torah should be Ro'ui for Torah, then at the end of the day, it's almost impossible to hold back the meisim. Signon Rama, oh, the style is off. They're sincere, but the style is off. And that's good style. Good style is a person who appreciates Kamatz Aleph or Kamatz Beis Ba. And that's the pshat in Tehillim Ayin Ches. V'libam loy nochayn imoy. Their hearts weren't there. They wanted to change their meisim, but their hearts weren't there. Now, amazing chiddush that comes out from the Miri in the Pasuk. Every individual that wants to change, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give them kapara. V'hu rachum yichaper avayin v'lo yashchis. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give us kapara. And last year, if we were sincere, our sins were erased. Kapara means that the sin was erased. But there's a higher madrega of tshuva. The Mishnah in Yuma concludes, Ma'amik v'metaris ha'tamei ma'af HaKadosh Baruch Hu metaris Yisrael. There's something called tahara, purity. Tahara salev. Bezer Hashem, we should be zaycha that this Rosh Hashanah lead us to a place that we live not only kapara, but we live tahara. That we should be zaycha to v'hu rachum yitahir. That Kodesh Baruch Hu should grant us the tahara that every single one of us, if we spend some time thinking about, really, really wants. And we have to ask ourselves, those things that we want to change in our maisim, what's the neshama that's behind it? And then Bezer Hashem will be zocha to a true kesher with Abba.